Go ahead and open to 1 John chapter 4. I got to tell you, Duncan, you did an awesome job. He is one sharp young man that we need to continue to pray for and encourage. He was a counselor at Greenwood Hills, and he did a wonderful job according to Aaron. And Aaron's excited to go back to Greenwood Hills, and I think Connor's going back too, so... we really need to continue to pray for our young ones and to encourage them to be a part of the body of Christ and all that they can and to glorify God. Let me go ahead and share my screen here. All right, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. I got to tell you off the bat, this is a difficult passage. Not that the content and what it says, but maybe what the Lord is doing inside of me. To love more and to have fellowship. What does fellowship mean? So very difficult for me personally to really comprehend what God wants me to understand as I share to you all. You know, as speakers, not only do we just prepare, but heartfelt way, we really go through it. We go through the ringer to really understand in our own lives how this applies to us. So this is a very... very tough and deep kind of chapter as we're going through this series. This is 1 John chapter 4. So we've been discussing a few things in this sermon series. I thank you for my brothers that have spoken on this passage of this book. And it's quite a remarkable book because he covers quite a few things. All right, here we go. In regards to Christian fellowship, and he goes deep into what this means, both in the idea of fellowship. See, and I don't want you guys to, whenever we use the word fellowship, we think about just fellowship among ourselves. Well, that's not necessarily what John is covering here. He says, yes, we're going to talk about that, fellowship among ourselves, but what does fellowship with the Father mean? What does intimate spiritual communion with the Father mean? And how does that relate to the love that we share to one another, that we share in the body of Christ? And so I want you guys to kind of think about this. And also, if you guys get a chance, please go back and listen to some of the message. I listened to the messages prior to this one just so I could get my mind around it, and I was challenged again in amazing ways. But there's quite a few things that John deals with, and God is teaching us about fellowship, and he hits on different marks of fellowship. Again, when I say fellowship, fellowship with the Father, as well as fellowship with one another. And what things does he hit on? He talks about abiding. He talks about love. He talks about obedience. He talks about many, many things that should be in our life and also that should emanate outside of our lives, right? Things that should be in our lives that we're close in union with the Father and we recognize certain truths, and then it should emanate out. And I want you guys to think about that. So marks of true Christian fellowship, and specifically discerning true Christian fellowship. And this will come out further as we continue on. So what I want us to think about, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. And let me read the first six verses, and then we'll read the last half later on. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide our hearts, Lord, as we focus on this chapter. Lord, that we would, as my brother previously have put it, not be half-hearers or half-hearted fellowshippers of our relationship with you or with one another, Lord. Help us to be mindful of what you are teaching here, Lord, that we may grow ever more closer to you, Lord, and that from that, Lord, that we can display these Christian virtues to others, Lord, within the body of Christ, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to understand what you are teaching us here, Lord, and may your name be glorified. We thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, so I want you guys to be ready to look at a few things. Mainly, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2 also, so I'm going to go back and forth between 2 and 4. So discerning true Christian fellowship, I was thinking about maintaining or growing in your fellowship with the Father. So one is maintaining is if you are abiding well in the Father, what should your life look like? Or, as I kind of feel, is maybe I'm not where I should be at times, and I need to grow in my fellowship, which is, you know, spiritual intimacy or communion with the Father. And therefore, my love for one another would increase. My love for one another should be on display and should be emanating out. So those are the kind of things I want to talk about, discerning true Christian fellowship. And I want to start here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. As you can see here, and this, he sets the tone here right at the beginning. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, okay? So he begins this book in a very interesting way, saying, this is the point I want you to get out. Are you spiritually intimate with the Father? Are you in union with the Father? Because if you are in union with the Father, these virtues of Christian love, Christian fellowship should be a part of your life and should be display in the body of Christ. So he sets the standard here, and I want us to kind of think about Christian fellowship. Confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but also our love for the body of Christ. And I want us to think about, you know, this idea of fellowship, koinonia, right? Two fellows in a boat rowing together, you could kind of say, right? Koinonia, fellowship. They can't go different ways if they're not on the same understanding, and that is fellowship with the Father and having a right relationship with Him. So it's the idea of depth of fellowship with God as Father. This is really significant when we're in the family of God and when we come in salvation. Fellowship exists when there is community. There was an essential strength of early Christians. This was an essential strength of early Christians. They shared the strength of belonging to each other and to, most importantly, to God. And this is what I want us to think about. Let me continue here. So there's two questions I want us to think about, okay? And this is how I'm going to break down the chapter, okay? So why should we maintain fellowship with the Father and the brethren, okay? This first question I'm going to probably more delve into, why should we maintain fellowship with the Father, okay? Because at the very start of this chapter, he warns us, and there's a warning here that he gives us, and something we may not totally recognize as we walk in this world right off the bat, because Satan is deceitful. He's very deceitful, and he knows how to work in and through the things of the world to deceive us and to change our minds about the truth of God. to change our minds about who Jesus is, to deny who Jesus is. And so the question I'm asking here is, why should we maintain fellowship with the Father and then with the brethren? And there's a caution or warning there. And then the second half of the chapter, I'm going to answer this question. What does fellowship with the Father and with one another look like? What does fellowship with the Father and with one another look like? These are very interesting questions, and I this is how I try to study and I break down things, because if I don't question how I'm living, if I don't read the Word of God and think about how it applies to my life, there's no growth in me, and there's no allowance of the Holy Spirit to reveal things that are blinders to me, things that are speed bumps in my life that I need to get rid of so that I can have closer fellowship, that I can have a closer abiding. John is someone that loves this word, abiding. He mentions it over and over again. And this idea of abiding is to remain, right? To be at home, to be remain, to stay still in the Father. And the question I ask is, why? And if I'm off, where am I off? Okay? So these are the two questions that I'm going to ask here. First one is, so why should we maintain fellowship with the Father and the brethren? So let's look at 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 18 just because of time. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would not have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If you heard from the beginning abides in you, I'm sorry, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So very early, and this is similar portions, right? 1 John chapter 2, Michael covered that really well. And I want to bring that into the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4. What does it say? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Why should we maintain fellowship with the Father? And here is a very clear warning that we get here, okay? The need to discern to discern truth from error, okay? And I want us to think about these things. What is currently in the world? Well, what do we see here? False teachers, prophets, little antichrists that are out to give false gospels, right? False gospels, the false message of the gospel, and also the desires of the world and of the worldly flesh, which was in chapter 2. So I want us to think about this, the need to test. He says, but test the spirits. The spirit of the Antichrist, Satan's spirit. Many false teachers have gone out. And he's giving us a disclaimer here. A mark, one of the marks of fellowship, being in communion, close, intimate communion with the Father, is you're able to discern truth from error, okay? I'm gonna kind of break it down in this way if I can. Back then, John was talking, and even Paul covered this, I believe, in Galatians. There was false teachings all rampant. And this is interesting, right? False teachings at the very beginning, right? False teaching. There was something known as the Gnostics or Gnosticism. And they were teaching that they had new revelation where they were adding teachings, right? They were adding truth to what was already taught. You know, that's very interesting. You know, in our world today, what do we see? Especially the young people. The idea is there's always something new, right? You think about social media. You think about anything on social media or entertainment, it's always having the newest and best thing, right? Especially when you have, I was studying this and I was looking up, for some reason, I was looking up Vody Bachman. Anyone heard of Vody Bachman? He's a very good speaker. Very good speaker. And he calls out some of these high-profile speakers like Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers, or he was calling out Andy Stanley now. Andy Stanley was speaking recently about how his church should accept people of transgender and homosexual lifestyle. And he was even putting them on a pedestal that sometimes their faith was even better than the people that were sitting in the seats. And so Vody Bachman was calling that out. There's this idea that there's something new out there. There's something you have missed in the Word of God. And John is saying, no. Test the spirits so that you are able to understand what is false and what is true. Young people, I want you guys to listen to this, okay? This is why there's importance of Sunday school or Awana or, you know, youth group and things like that. You're in a training facility as you're here, even under the tutelage of your parents, in family devotions, as you sing songs, as you talk about spiritual things. You're under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, and you're learning right now what is truth, and the Holy Spirit's going to use that. Why? So you can test. Test the spirit for what is wrong, right? What is he saying here? This is what was currently happening there, and it continues on, right? This is the spirit of the age, the spirit of the Antichrist. False teachers, false teachings, false gospels. What do they like to do? They like to add to the Word of God. Works plus grace, salvation. There's a new revelation out there. They were teaching that there is some deeper truth, deeper revealed truth that you must have and understand, and therefore you will be saved. No. John says over and over again in this book, remember from the beginning what you have heard. If you abide in the Father, remember the truths that you have heard. Remember the apostles' teaching. What you're hearing, it's things that they like to talk about, right? But that are wrong. The Gnostics specifically, they denied the deity of Jesus. They said when he was baptized, he became divine. And then before death, that left him. That was the teaching of the Gnostics. There was also, they didn't like to call Jesus Christ. Can you see problems with that? There's religions today, right, that don't call Jesus Christ. Think about Islam, right? Good teacher, good prophet, but not the Savior of the world, right? They were always teaching something false. Think about false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. They were among us, but they were not of us. They like to talk the pretty talk, right? I put a few things here. You know, if you think about speakers today, my ears always go up when I think. One is, if they're popular, there's something I got to be careful about. If they're popular and if they appeal to the masses, young people, listen. Your ears, your warning signal should go up because you should start to discern. You should start to test, right? One is, I was studying this. They like to talk about money a lot. You know, I'll give you this vial of water if you send $50 in. It'll bless your life, I'm telling you. It's from Jerusalem. Jordan River, maybe. You know how dirty Jordan River is? You never know that they'll send it to you. They deny Jesus. They speak from worldly wisdom. If you think about some of these speakers, they talk about steps to a better life. They talk about psychology of life and the better you. The best you now kind of mentality of social media babble. John is telling us to think here, to discern. Let me read you another verse I was thinking about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there were false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. It is active, right? It is active among us, and the Bible is telling us, you brethren, you believers in God's word, must be careful and what? Test. Don't be blind sheep. Don't be deaf sheep. Test. Here's the warning. There's many out there. There's people out there to get your attention. That's what I want young people to understand. They're out there to get you. To deceive you. And you must be mindful. So what are we taught here? How can you test and examine false teachers? And this is what we read in chapter 2 and the beginning part of chapter 4. How can you test and examine false teachers? Let me read 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 again. What does he tell us here? How can we test and examine false teachers? But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? So what's he telling here? One, how do you test the spirits? Well, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you know the truth. You take what these false teachers tell you and say, do they deny Christ? Do they deny that he was everlasting? Do they deny that he was born of a woman, fully divine? Do they deny that he came as Savior of the world to bear the sins of mankind and to die on the cross for all and to be raised from the dead? Do they deny that? And what else does he say here? How can you test and examine false teachers? I'm going to read these verses again. Verse 24 through 27. Actually, hold on one second. First John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, right? So he's paralleling, he's connecting these two things, chapter 2 and chapter 4. Next, he says, how can you test? Verse 24 of chapter 2. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. What does abiding mean? To remain, right? To be at home with in the truth, to remain in the Father. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. You have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So what is he saying here? His truth has not changed from the beginning. His truth has not changed. There is no new revelations, right? Young people, this is sometimes I get this, and they find the Bible very hard to understand. They think the Bible is full of mysteries and there's contradictions and all this. No. The Bible is whole. The Bible is the whole counsel of God. You can verify things. And the Bible, I think, is plainly put out there. If you study it and you understand it, you grow ever more closer to the Father. And he shows you, and the Holy Spirit is teaching you in righteousness. He is guiding you into spiritual wisdom. Why? To test, to examine, to understand, and to grow ever more closer to the Father. That's why I love this. He says, what does he say here? Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. In what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. There's a permanence of truth, right? There's a permanence of truth and of the apostles' teaching from the very first century. Permanence of truth. How can you abide in the Father and know the truth? You deny worldly wisdom from false teachers that pleases the masses. Social media, entertainment platforms. And I have to be even careful about podcast pulpits. Because I like to listen to podcasts. But when I hear something that's very pleasant to the ears, I always have to say, let me check this in the Word. Let me make sure it is clarified and understood in the Word. Otherwise, I should have no reason to be listening to it. Why should I give it any more time? Why should I invest my time in something that is preaching from the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth? This is what he says. How can you test and examine false teachers? Abide. Abide. Something I wrote here is, closer we are to God in fellowship, the easier it will be to discern from the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is a challenge to me. You know, I was listening to Michael's message, and he says, you know, a goal for this 2023 year is not to sin. You know, and there's a chuckle there, right? That's very hard to do, right? But Michael says very clearly, doesn't mean you move the goal, right? You don't move the goal. What is he saying here? John says, we're going to test. Here's the warning. You must abide in the Father. Why? Because it's in the world today, and you have to know what is of truth and what is of error. The closer we are to God in fellowship, the easier it will be to discern from the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Parents, can I talk to you for a second? Because I challenge myself a lot, is how am I doing parenting? Do I put on an example for my children that they know that I am following the Word of God? Like, the Word of God is of ultimate importance to me, and my relationship with God is important to me. I want them to understand, when you don't know something, when something's puzzling, when something is confused, let's is there wisdom we can find in the Word? If it's something really wacky, do I run to prayer first? Do I run to my Heavenly Father first? These kind of things breed within our children an idea of God is precious. His word is ultimate. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And I want them to understand these kind of important, weighty matters. That God has given us all things for life in his living word. So I challenge you parents to pray through these things and help to understand how we can do these things better. Time is flying here. So I want us to get to the second half here. So fellowship with the Father. So this first half is, why should we have the importance? Why should we maintain fellowship with the Father? Well, there is many false prophets. There are many little antichrists in the world, and they're hitting us. They're out there to take us away. And therefore, the warning here is to abide. The second question I want us to handle is, what does fellowship with the Father and with one another look like? So if I abide, if I remain in the Father, if I understand truth and I remain and I have spiritual intimacy with the Father, what should it look like? Okay, this book is a book of the marks of Christian fellowship. Marks of Christian fellowship. So the second half of this chapter, he talks about the main mark, okay? And I say main because you see it multiple times in Scripture, but there's other marks like obedience, like sound doctrine. There's many other marks here, but here we're going to talk about the main mark here. What does fellowship with the Father look like and with one another? So let's look at verse 7 of chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. If we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected, verse 17, among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So what does fellowship with the Father and with one another look like? And I'm talking about the mark of Christian fellowship, which is love. So I want us to look at this, and I want us to break it down this way. Who is God? Who God is? What did God do? And what is God doing, okay? And how does God's love move within our life? We have to understand this. The mark of Christian fellowship, spiritual intimacy, communion, union with God, is because of love. So how do we define love? It has to be defined in understanding the nature of who God is. So that's how I start here. Who God is. And this is what he points to, right? Look at verse 8 real quick. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Verse 16. What does it say? And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So understanding the nature of God. I'm going to just move a little faster here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly, the love of God is perfected, right? Whoever keeps his word, whoever follows the commandments. By this we may know that we who are in him, whosoever says he abides in him, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You see, the very nature of God being explained, but also not even the nature, but by his action, right? At the same time, it is not a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause of stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him, has blinded his eyes. So we understand here, we understand it's the very nature of God, right? God is love. God is love. And we see here the defining act of who he is. He's displaying his love. How did he display his love? In 1 John chapter 4, he says what? In this is love, right? In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And he says this again. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This used to be one of my favorite verses growing up. And I used to, when I really started loving this verse, I would at times cry. You know why? I would cry at this verse. Because this world has such a demented view of love. Such a screwed up view. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it's a demented view of love. And I read this and I was like, what unconditional love? And then it says, not that we loved God, not that we were pursuing him in any way. We were throwing rocks at him. But that he loved us. And how did he display his love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see the extreme factor of love here. The love of God to unconditionally love me. Where I was unlovable. The prodigal son being in the pigsty. And coming home to a father that was looking for him. That ran to him. What unconditional love. This is the way we are called to love. This is the mark of Christian fellowship. We should walk as we abide with the Father. We abide in his love. And that love is shown to us. And that love then emanates out from us to love one another. That's what he's saying here. Mark of a Christian fellowship is first our fellowship with God the Father, because God is love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, all the aspects of love, it all emanates from God the Father, and therefore we love one another. The act of God, unconditional love, therefore we must mimic and respond with God's character of love. What's the character of love? Unconditional. What's the character of love? Sacrificial. What's the character of love? By all means necessary, I'm going to do something for my brother and my sister that I'll do in my ability, no matter the cost. That's what God is calling us to. My time is gone here, so I'm just going to kind of close up and show you these things so you guys have it. So what is God doing? What is God doing here? And I want us just to think about this. 1 John 4, 12 through 16. No one has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. You know, the idea I would bring here, abiding in fellowship with the Father, and anointing of the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit teaches us more about God's love. It teaches me, you know, when my children mess up, do I put them on the street? I don't mind doing that to my cat, because my cat and I, we don't get along. He's an animal. But of course I won't do that to my children, because I unconditionally love them. You know, there's some things, when I was a teenager, or a late teenager in early college years, I said some really mean things to my parents. Did my parents cut me off? No. But you know what the Holy Spirit did to me? Holy Spirit broke me. Holy Spirit broke me because I was so unloving to my parents and taught me more about forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness and taught me what an amazing love my parents had for me. Do you understand? God, what is God doing? Through the Holy Spirit, He's sanctifying us. He's sanctifying us, teaching us more about God's love. That's what He says here. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us the Spirit. And we have known and believed that the love of God has for us, and God is love. And he who abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We abide in the Father. Love, it's being perfected, it's being shown. Christ's love, God's love is being shown. And the sanctification process continues on. And it gives us an assurance in the day of judgment. Let me just go through these things here, and then we're going to close. Sorry. Assurance for the day of judgment. Love as a test of brotherly love and abiding in God. We become conduits of God's love. When we abide more with the Father, when we grow in our love with the Father, we have fellowship, spiritual intimacy with the Father, He in turn makes us conduits of light, conduits of love, for the brethren, and also a lighthouse to the world. That these people are different. Why are they different? They know Christ. Come and know Christ. This is how it should be in our mind. And this is what John is teaching us. We don't have time to think about the idea of love. But love fulfills the greatest commandments. Matthew 22, 30 through 40. I ask that you look at these verses. We fulfill the law through love, Romans chapter 13. Love is the evidence of faith in our life. Love is the evidence of faith in our life, Galatians chapter 5. And I put this last thing. A mark of Christian fellowship, the badge of Christianity amongst believers, amongst the children of God, is love. Not our definition of love, right? It's God's definition of love. Unconditional, sacrificial, all out going at all means to love. I don't know about you, but I'm convicted. These are things I need to work on. Badge of Christianity is love for one another. John 13, 34 through 35. Let me just end with a story. I'm over. I know my time is over. I like these stories about Robert Chapman's life. Okay? There's a story here of a man, story of one man who had been excluded from Chapman's church because of sin or some kind of doctrinal error. But Chapman had continued to pray for the man, even though the excluded man became bitter and vowed never to speak a word to Chapman again. Sometime later, they found themselves approaching each other on the street. Knowing all that the man had been saying about him, Chapman embraced him and said, "Dear brother, God loves you, Christ loves you, and I love you." This action broke the man's animosity. He repented and was soon breaking bread in the church again. Loving one another has a cost, right? But it doesn't matter, because Christ gave it all for us, right? That's the measure. By all means necessary, we need to love one another and to show the love of God to them.
Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what convicting words we read here, Lord. Have I loved to the uttermost, Lord? And I have to confess I have not, Lord. And I ask you for your Spirit's help and Spirit's leading, Lord, for all of us, Lord, to understand the love of God and this idea of having close intimacy with you, Lord, so that we may love one another more, that we may glorify you more, Lord, and also love one another and build the church up. Lord, I ask you for help. I ask you for understanding in these scriptures, Lord, and I, Lord, just thank you for your words of life. It teaches me more and more about who you are, Lord, and where I need to be. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for, Lord, you sending him to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, and that being resurrected from the dead, I can have new life by faith in you, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, may we be conduits of this great salvation, conduits of your great love for us, and to share that with one another, Lord. Teach us more. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.